Okay, wonderful. So I'm a preacher, not a technical guy. So we are a team.
Yes.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes.
Yeah, was it? Okay. Yeah, so thank you very much for inviting us. For me and Kathy, it's the first time to be in Scotland.
Yay!
We really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for your hospitality.
Good word.
We are staying with the lovely couple of Roy and Patty, and they are so great and taking care of us, and so we sleep well, and it's so great to be with you all, to get to know the church, the young people, and we really enjoy it, and it's a really great weekend here. We back home are involved in different ministries with young people and with older people, and so really we enjoy the different age groups, and so we are one family. And family makes up younger people, older people. We need each other. We learn from each other.
Yes.
And that's why it's great that we are here together in this service as a family. And that's good.
Very good.
So, yeah, I have the final word. Not really, but they asked me to send you out. And I really have a story on my heart from the Old Testament, and for me personally, it's my favorite or nearly most favorite story in the Bible. And I want to share this with you. And it's about some principles for changing the world. Okay? So my subject for today is, and we can show it. I see something you don't see. Have a vision and go. I don't know if you know that game. I see something that you don't see. Do you know it? I don't know how it's called here.
Oh, I spy with my little eye.
What is it?
I spy with my little eye.
Ah, okay, okay, cool, yeah. So normally you play it with kids. We play with our kids. And I thought maybe it would be great to play it with you, with a church. Okay, so I will look out for a color, and yeah, you should guess what it is. And maybe we do it like you raise your hands and then I pick you. No, not purple. No, no. And do you know that with colder and warmer and so?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great, wonderful. Okay, I see a color that you don't see, and it is green. So what do you think? Come on, raise your hands. Green. Somewhere here. Green. No, colder.
Pillars.
Very cold.
On a column.
Oh, it's so, freezing cold.
On a flag.
The exit sign. Yeah.
Oh, cold, no, sorry, cold, no.
The chair.
Which chair?
The one I'm sitting on.
No, this very cold chair. You should jump up.
On your
You are burnt! Yes, right, yeah. You're burnt. Great. Yes. So he saw something you all didn't see. But today I want to encourage you to see something that God will show you for your world where you're living every day. And if once you see it, then take it and go. And I want to share about a story about Jonathan and his armor bearer. Maybe some of you know that story from the Old Testament. And it fits something in what we heard about David, what we heard about taking a sword, and so on. And I want to read with you this story from 1 Samuel chapter 14 from verse 1. And you can read it with me if you want to. Now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to pass at Michmash. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying under the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Micron. With him there were about 600 men, among whom was Ahiah, who was wearing an ephod. He was a son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. So you all know these guys, yeah? Okay. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozes and the other Senne. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I'm with your heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come then. We will cross over toward the men and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in." The man of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we will teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell over Jonathan and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah Benjamin saw the armies melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, "Muster the forces and see who has left us." When they did, it was Jonathan and his armor bearer who were not there. Saul said to Ahiah, "Bring the Ark of God." At that time it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priest, the chaos in the Philistine camp increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all his men assembled and went to battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. Those Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines had gone up with them to the camp, went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved on beyond Beth Aven. What a story, isn't it? By the way, it's not science fiction. It happened real. It's a true story some 100 years ago. And out of this, we can draw some principles for us today to change the world. And I want to quick have a look on different aspects and want to encourage us to really take this, have a vision, and go. So the first thing is really have a specific vision. And we can show the next slide. So the thing is, Jonathan had a vision. He said, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." So what was the situation here? Actually, the Israelites were supposed to fight against the Philistines. But the problem was that Israel was oppressed and disarmed by the Philistines. And only Jonathan and Saul were armed with some weapons. So what did they do? Every day they sit under the pomegranate tree who is in Migron, and they did nothing. Actually, they were upset. They were oppressed. They had no weapons at all. And day by day, they did nothing but sitting under the pomegranate tree who was in Migron. And the problem was, somehow they get used to that situation. It's like when you are unemployed for a long time, somehow all the motivation and all the energy is like gone. So it feels like them. But Jonathan was somehow dissatisfied with this current situation. He said, this cannot be how it is. Actually, we should fight against the Philistines and we should win and we will be free and then let's go. But they were sitting under the pomegranate tree in Micron and did actually nothing. But one day, Jonathan had a vision, had an impulse, had something on his heart to say, I want to change this situation. I want to change the world. Amon Bira, let's go. Let's go and make a difference. Yes. The people were hopeless, but he got a hope. He got a vision. So my question to you today is, do you have a vision? Do you have an impulse? Do you have something where you say, it's good, but I want more. I want to see something changed. I want to see my friends get to know Jesus. I want that our family get transformed. I want to see more people receiving Jesus as their friend. I want to see more miracles, that more people get saved, get healed. I want to see more impact in our city. I mean, yesterday we went on the streets doing little outreaches. We spoke to 4 people, and out of these 4, 3 had no contact with any religion. This is our Christian Europe, kind of. So, are you satisfied with the current situation sitting under the Scotland tree in... What is the main tree here? What do you have here in Scotland, the main tree?
Oak.
Sitting under the oak in Edinburgh. And, yeah, it's actually not bad. It's actually, But do you have a vision to say, actually there is more out there. Anything, there is more of the presence of God, the miracles of God, the working of the Holy Spirit. Actually, there is more. Raising up more leaders, building a strong and healthy church that can impact the surroundings and can be a light for the city and the villages we come from. So do you feel something in your heart where you say, we are thankful what God has done, yeah, but there is even more to reach and more to change? Because we see that there is a lot of darkness, but Jesus is the light. Yeah. And interesting is, Jonathan didn't tell his father. So, is it a call to be disobedient to your parents? No. But the problem is, he knew his father would be against it, and he knew that Saul would hinder him. So what it tells me is there something that will hinder you or distract you from doing that what God gives you in your heart to do? Could be people, could be things, could be actually good things, but they can be in the way of that what God calls us to do. So if there is something, the best thing you can do is get rid of this and put it away. That's what he did. He went. And I want to refer to some examples that we had made in Dresden. And we also have something similar like this called Jesus Life. And we do it in the end of the year with young people from various churches. And it called, Jesus Life. And the last time we had our topic called Let Your Light Shine. And I thought I want to encourage you by what God is doing here with what we experienced with us. And I'm so glad to be here and to see how you do it, that we can learn from each other and that we can encourage each other and see that God is doing something with young people and even with older people in our countries. And it was similar when we start Jesus Life. We had the vision of bringing young people together, that they get to know each other, that they see and realize we are not alone as Christians. And we want to excite them for Jesus, to equip them, and to support them on their way to maturity and growing in faith. Like what you felt, we had a vision of invest in young people. They are the future. So I want to ask you, and let's go back to the first one. For what do you exist personally? For what do you exist as a youth group? For what do you exist as a church? Actually, what would not happen if you were not here where you are right now? What would not happen if you were not back in your church where you are right now? If you say, oh, actually nothing, then I want to tell you, God has something for you. And if you were not there, it will definitely be seen that you were not there because you are important. So have a vision. And then the second thing, the second principle is, verse 4 and 5, that Jonathan actually went. So go and fulfill this vision. He did not only say, oh, actually it would be good if we could fight against the Philistines. I know we are good in that. Actually, we should do, we ought to do, we could do. Yeah, we should spend more time with God. Actually, yeah, that's right. We should pray more, read in the Word of God. Yeah, serve other people, talk about Jesus going to the service. And we should, we ought, we could. Yeah. But actually, Jonathan did it. Even in an uncomfortable way, through the cliffs and the mountains. He was ready to take a risk and to say, I am ready to invest everything that I have, my time, my gifts, my money, my ideas, my heart. Yeah, sometimes I'm tired, and actually to climb up these mountains, oh, but I want to do it because I have a vision. Good. So he really went. Like Peter, who went out of the boat. And I said yesterday to the guys, you only will experience a miracle when you are ready to step out of the boat. You only will experience that you can win against the Philistines when you actually go out and fight. So we experienced the same with our conference. We had an idea, okay, it would be great to have young people together, but what does it mean? And Jenny knows, a lot of work. Yes. A lot of work, yeah? So to look out for the leaders, look out for the workers, organize everything, the preachers, the worship, the workshops, the outreaches, the decoration, the coffee, the food, the hosting, shoo, it's a lot to think about it. And the thing is that we have it after Christmas time, where everybody is relaxing. We encourage all the young people, come on and let's work. Yeah, in the night they build up their sound system and lights and everything, and it's like, thank you, God, for these young people. So it's not always comfortable, but we really experience Jesus' life. Yes. Good. And we wouldn't experience that if we would stay in bed and chill and say, oh, God, do it. And he said, no, come on, get up. And then we both do it. Yeah, so it is really worth. So if God puts something on your heart, then do it. Do you have a vision and do you put it into practice? Or is there something that hinders you? Maybe fear. You feel like, actually, I should pray for someone. Actually, I should visit my neighbor. Actually, I should encourage a friend of mine. But what does he think? Maybe you are fear or feeling of inability. I want to encourage you. You can overcome it. Trust God. And then Jonathan went, and the next principle, have a big view of God and trust God. Interesting is, while they were going, they didn't really know if God is really with them. He said in verse 6, perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf, but nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. How crazy is that? So maybe you have some ideas in your heart and you don't really know, is it from God? And often we don't do anything. We said, oh, if God is not writing it on the wall, or a fire is breaking out, or an angel appears, then I don't do that nothing. But he had an impulse in his heart. Seems to him a good idea. It was full of passion. Is that okay? Let's go. So he didn't really know if this really is the will of God, but he knew if God wants, he is able to do this, because he can save by many and by few. And that says to me, God can use bigger and smaller churches. That says to me that God can use bigger and smaller youth groups. Even God can use bigger and smaller young people. You don't need to be big because God is big. The question is, do you trust in a big God to do big things with small, little, very little, whatever people? It's really encouraging me. And when we have our conference, some days before it starts, I really feel like very little. And I said, oh, God, it's a big thing in front of us. Hundreds of young people come. Things happen. It's like a big puzzle, a lot of pieces. And I don't know how it will all fit together. But I ask you, please do it. You are able to put all the puzzle pieces together for a very beautiful, great picture. And I don't have to do it, but I trust God that you will do it and that you will meet young people, that you will change young people. We can organize something, but we ask you to meet and change the young people. And he always thinks and acts smarter and faster than we. Yes. Often I thought, oh, I forget to organize it. Oh, I forget to ask this. And God was one step before and it was somehow already done. And I thought, okay, something thought about it because God has taken care. So God is a big God. And my question is, do you have a big view of God? You don't have to be big, but is God big for you? And let me ask you, do you do something currently you know it's too big for you? When not, look out for something where you actually say, I should do this. Don't ask me. I'm the wrong guy. Because then you are challenged to really trust God. And I said to the guys yesterday, when I came to Dresden, I come from West Germany and I moved to Dresden, and I had a vision and an impulse on my heart to work with young people. But the thing is, I was too old for the youth group to join, and I was not the leader that would qualify me to be around with young people. But one day, the leaders of the church asked me if I could imagine to take over the youth group. And I really felt that God puts this on my heart. But I've never done it before. I've never led a youth group before. I had no experiences. But I felt that God called me. And I said, okay, God, I don't know everything, but I trust you that you will help me to do this. And so we led the youth group for 10 years. Now we hand it over. But I really can say, thank you, God, that you were with me. And he is faithful. So the next principle that Jonathan experienced is work in a team and unity. The teamwork makes the dream work. It's a great sentence. It is. And we see here Jonathan as a leader with a vision. He went up front and we see the armor bearer supporting him from behind. So Jonathan went forward, reaching out, and the armor bearer followed with a loyalty, with a faithfulness, and with a trust. It's so amazing that he said, go ahead, I'm with your heart and soul. But actually, it's a crazy thing to trust a leader who wants to fight against thousands of Philistines only by himself. Would you trust a leader like this if he would say, okay, come on, next Sunday, rent the biggest hall here in Scotland and we will have a church service? You always say, oh, we need to pray for our church leader. He is insane. Yeah? Yeah? So maybe 2 weeks it will be more possible. I don't know. But you know, actually it's crazy to do something like that. But why, he trusted him. Why? I give you the answer in the next principle, okay? But here we see they were a team. Both were equal important. They worked as a team, but with different functions and tasks. So Jonathan was the leader. He had a vision. But both fought together. And leadership should have and give a vision. Like a shepherd who leads the sheep to the green grass and say, this is it. And he is an example. He leads not by force, but by example. He's one who motivates the people to go with him, to initiate. So if you want that your people praise God first. Yes. If you as a leader want that young people or the church praising God, and if you sit in the back and you're the preacher and you're the leader and you say, okay, let's praise God, yeah, but oh, I'm preaching later on, okay. Then you come to the front and then, okay, let's open the Bible. You're actually not the leader. A leader shows how it should be. And praising God. It's the same if you want that your young people or your church comes punctually to the service. Be on time. First. I don't know how it is here, but we struggle a bit with this. Even in Germany, where all the people think they're on time. Maybe the Germans, but not the Christian Germans. I don't know. So, it's first, we lead us. Are we an example? And you know, for us, when we think about Jesus' life, it is only made by a team. Yeah, there's some people that have leadership responsibility, but actually so many things that happens, like what you have with the different teams, yeah, the preachers, the worship, cafe, sound team, decoration, and so on, counseling, and so on. We all a team, like a puzzle piece that works together. So the question is, what is your part? What has God given you where you fit in? But to change the world, it's important that you don't go alone, that you go in a team. And that's why we have church, that we can support each other, that we can learn from each other, that we can encourage each other, because we are different. I don't have everything. You have something that I don't have. That's why I need you. That's why we need our togetherness. And that's church about, a team and unity. So you are a team player. And if you are a leader, are you an example? And do you motivate the people to go? And do you go up front? And if you are a supporter, do you support your leader? And are you willing to follow and to serve? And if we are a good team, then we really can change the world. And then the next thing, verse 8 to 12, ask for God's will. Because Jonathan and his armor bearer, they came now to the point where they really realized, actually there are thousands of Philistines. Are we two? Okay. So we really actually should know if God is with us or not. Because if God is not with us, we got a problem. But if God is with us, we will definitely win this battle. So it was really important that they really get to know what God thinks and that God is behind them. And he didn't want to do an ego thing and to fight against thousands of Philistines and to show and to boast, hey, look what I have done, yeah, I did it. No, he actually wanted to serve the purposes of God. So he started with an impulse, yes, and he went. But now he came to the point where he really thought, I need God's admission. And it's so important that we fight the right fight. We can do many things because there is so much need in this world. But the question is, what is your vision? What is your responsibility? What has God called you to do? Something special. You have a special personality. You have special gifts. So you are unique. So God, what wants God to do with you? Maybe that you spend time with someone. Maybe that you phone someone. Maybe that you fulfill a specific task God put on your heart. And I really want to encourage you, young people, ask God for the right profession in your life. Ask God where you should live. Ask God for the right boyfriend and girlfriend, for the right ministry, you know? Because especially to work in a team with a wife, with the right wife, it's important. Because a partner can whether push you or he can, what you say, break, yeah? So, yeah? hold you back. But God will bring the right people together that they will be so effective for changing the world. So if you really want to be effective in this life, ask God for his will and he will show you, because he loves you, he knows what's best for you, and he has the best plan. If you think you are the smartest, I will tell you out of my own experience, trust God more, okay? And God will speak. He will speak out of his word. Maybe you read something 10 times, and then immediately something is very personally. God will speak through the gifts of the Spirit, through prophecy, through other people, through circumstances, through an inner peace. God will really show you what he wants you to do. So my question is, do you ask for God's perspective and the will of your situation? Is he the driver of your life car? Or are you still driving? No, God, I want to go this way. No. And then he asked for the will of God, and God answered prayer and said, go. So, and Jonathan asked for a difficult sign. Because he said, if the Philistine will ask that we come up, then we know God is with us. Jonathan, it would have much been easier if you asked God that when they come down, that this will be the sign. It's easier to fight with them when they come down as when you go up. But it shows me that when God speaks, there is no hindrance too big that he can fulfill his purpose with you. Because God is big. And what he says, he's able to do. So God really answers prayers and shows his will. He wants the best for you, and he's like a father that he wants to tell you and answer your prayers. So don't give up. If you prayed for something a long time, please, please don't give up. He really wants to show you. And maybe he wants that you really trust in him. Like a child is trusting his father. And you know, when we ask for a topic for Jesus' life, we really ask God, God, show us what is the right topic. What is this year the plan you want to share the young people? And through different circumstances, some prophetic words, personal devotion, and sharing our hearts as leaders, we felt the last year that the topic, let your light shine, is something that God really wants to highlight and speak to the young people. It's just similar to what you have, changing the world. And then we thought about, okay, how can we put it into practice? And we thought about maybe having called Light Night, going to the city with different lights, with candles, with everything, as a symbol of God wants to come as a light. Then we did some different outreaches. So it comes all out of what God has showing us to put it into practice. So it's important to know what God wants you to do. Do you know the next steps for your personal situation? What will you do as youth groups in the next month? For a church, what wants God to do in 2016 with your church? Do you know that? We have, in our church in Dresden, we have 5 main things that we feel like God wants to do in our church. One of them are 5 healing services. Yesterday evening, we had our first evening service. Because we feel that God wants to heal the people. So I want to ask you, what has God shown you personally really to do and to fight for? And then use a strategy for putting this vision into action. And what was here? The strategy of them. It was fighting the army! Yeah! So they both went with a big, big sword, you know? I think they had not that big sword that I have here right now. So their strategy was fighting. And so Jonathan didn't went alone. He had his armor bearer with him. So come on. So both went towards the Philistines. And they fought back to back, yeah, and they killed one Philistine, 2 and 3 and 4, and maybe 20. And they were a big, good team, you know? So thank you for killing. Yeah. But the thing was, they killed 20 people together as one team, And interesting is that the armor bearer stand behind him. And that is for me a great picture of a team. There is a leader and a supporter behind him. And I want to ask you, do you support your leader from behind? Do you stand back with them, back them up? Or do you work against them? It's so important that we as churches are one and that we are together. And then they fought 20, but the problem was, or the question was, but there are many more out there. So what are we doing with the rest of, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,677? And now here God comes in the way. Because God did something that man can do. Verse 15, we read, then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. So here we see something interesting and very important. On the one side, there were two human that were doing their human effort, fighting against the Philistines with their swords. And on the other side, God is doing the human impossible, the godly thing, and giving an earthquake. Could you produce an earthquake? I don't think so. So it shows me that God wants to work with us, that we do and give our human best, what we can, and God will give his godly best, the miracle. And this is always a principle how he works. He works with us. It's a partnership. So we do the human and he does the godly things. And it's so encouraging. So maybe you encourage somebody with your easy words, but God will comfort the heart. Maybe you pray for someone who is ill, and God will heal this person. Maybe in school or in your family or here even in a home group or in the youth, you share a word you have on your heart, and God will transform this person from inside out. So you do your thing that you can do, and God will do his things that only he can do. So I want to ask you, what is your sword that God has given you? What is your gift? What are your talents? What has God blessed you with to fulfill his vision? And so we're really encouraged to see what God can do. And I want to ask you, maybe you are a hand. Maybe you're someone, you are working. Maybe you are someone who's saying hello to foreigners and to even weird people. I don't know. Maybe you are a mouth and you can encourage other people. You can proclaim the word of God. Maybe you are an ear. It's no problem for you to drink 10 coffees and to listen to a person's problems for hours and hours. Maybe you're someone like an eye. You have a vision for something, for someone. Maybe you are a nose. You come somewhere in and you feel a good or a bad atmosphere. And you say, okay, we need to pray here. Or maybe you are a feet and you say, let's go and visit this one in hospital. Let's go to the neighbor. Go on the streets. So whatever you are, what are you? God has made you special to fulfill his vision. And then at last, and that is so interesting, huh? When two guys went into battle and God does a miracle, the other Israelites, hey, what's going on there? Hey, what's going on? There is a panic. And then the others joined into this whole battle. So often God uses first some few brave and bold people to do something great who are willing to trust and go for God. And then often other people join. And I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you, would you are the ones who go first. When they feel something that God wants to do, that you say, against thousands of Philistines, I can't do that. But my God is big. And when he says, Then I can go back to school. I can go back to my family, to my friends, to my church. And what I have on my heart, I will take a step. And if God is with me, I will conquer and change the world. Amen. And that's what I really wish for you. And that's what we experience with Jesus' life. And I think also with Regenerate. That we have many young people that meet Jesus. We have some witnesses. They said, for the first time, I got a prophetic word. For the first time, I speak in tongues. For the first time, I experienced Jesus very real to me. We had a lot of young people. They were bondaged and get free. And to see that, I said, it's so worth to do all the work because what Jesus can and will do. And that's what I wish with you. Not only regenerate, but in your churches, here in your country, that you will experience God, that He can change the world through you. And so I really want to pray for you. And from a pastor, from Bill Wilson, a pastor in New York, I learned one sentence. And he said, if you want something you never had, you need to do something you never done before. So if you want something you never had, you need to do something you never done before. Be open what God wants to show you. Maybe to do something different that God will use. So I would like to pray for you that when we go back to the homes, back to the cities, back to the towns we come from, that really God is with us and give us His power and His wisdom. So it's okay that we can stand up, and I would like to pray for you, and maybe then we can have one more song that we can all together proclaiming the goodness and the bigness of God.